Good morning, church. Will you stand with me as we read God's word together? This morning, we're going to be reading from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and walk in love, as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. Let's pray. Father God, we stand in awe of who you are. Jesus, we love you, and we pray this morning, God, that as we hear from your word, Lord, that you would teach us what it looks like to be more like you, to be imitators of you who walk worthy of what you have called us to. Jesus, we love you, and we thank you for loving us. In your name we pray, amen.
Well, I couldn't decide. Do I wear it the whole time or not? And it felt a little too Episcopalian, so I went with no. Happy Father's Day. I hope that you have had a good, relaxing weekend. I hope that you have had an opportunity to enjoy the blessings that the Heavenly Father has given you over this weekend. I was able to go play golf with my dad on Friday morning. It's something that my father loves to do, and so I go with him. I used to not like it at all, and I've grown to enjoy it, but the thing that I have learned is that at the end of the round, no matter how well we played, no matter how poorly, no matter how good a time it was or how hot it was Friday morning, my dad always says it's the best time he's ever had playing golf, and that makes me feel loved, and that is just a good example of who my father is. My father loves everyone, and I mean everyone. From a person he's known his whole life to someone he has never met in an airport, he will talk to them, and he wants them to feel welcome. He wants them to feel respected. He wants them to feel honored. He wants them to feel loved. He will make them feel like they are his best friend, and that is how he has lived his whole life. He has tried to exemplify the love of Christ throughout his life, and that is something that I have been blessed by the Heavenly Father to see and to look towards an imitation. But I also understand that not everyone in this room has that same example. I get it, and I understand that sometimes a Hallmark holiday like Father's Day can bring up some bad emotions or bad thoughts. So I want you to take a breath, and I want you to put that away for right now. And I want you to remember that no matter how poor, no matter how indifferent, or how perfect your relationship with your earthly father has been, is, or will be, it falls woefully short of the love that the Heavenly Father has for you and the relationship that he desires for you. So for the next 25 minutes, maybe 20 if I really want to get home to watch Brazil, but in the next 25 minutes, I want you to think on that, the love that the Heavenly Father has for you. I have loved this sermon series. I think it has been excellent. I was talking with Anita earlier this week. I think the way it has been laid out, the scriptures, the messages, it's been one of the best sermon series that I think we have done here at Lachlan Springs. It's probably one of the best sermon series that I believe I've heard in many years. We started off, David was preaching about God is love, and he talked about how this world comes at us in so many different ways, and it tries to tell us what love is. It tries to tell us that we can fall into love and then back out of love. It tries to tell us that we can love everything. Love is a word that is just thrown around haphazardly. But what it tells us is, what he told us is, and what Scripture tells us, is that God is love. And that we were created in his image, and we are loved by God, and therefore we are called to love others. That God's love is patient, it is kind, it does not boast, it does not envy, it endures all things, it hopes all things. That God's love is sacrificial, that it's relentless, that it's non-judging, that it's unconditional. That is what love is and not what this world tells us love is. The sermon series went on to tell us what biblically marriage is defined, how marriage is defined biblically. Let me say it that way. He went on to talk about last week how love is a choice. It's something that we are called to choose daily, to love sacrificially. Well, today, as we wrap up this sermon series, I want to talk about what it means to be a Christian. You see, the word started in Antioch. After Christ's death, the church had started there in Antioch, and the people looked and lived differently. And one of the common phrases of that time was, who are you a follower of? What great thinker? What great religion? What God do you worship? And the Christians would respond when asked that question, we are followers of Jesus Christ. So the public and the culture would say, they are Christians, which means little Christ, which means they were imitators of Christ. You see, the way they lived, the way they loved, it looked different than everything else. And that is what the word Christian, where the word Christian comes from. So now let's come back to today. How would the word Christian be described by the world? What synonyms might they use? Religious? They might say kind. They might say they try to be good. I think we would hear legalism. I think we would hear judgmental. We might even hear hateful people and exclusive. So you see the way the word has turned over time as perceived by the culture. As Christians, we are called to love like Christ loved and to imitate our Heavenly Father who is love. And that is what Paul was writing to the church of Ephesus in the 5th chapter in the first 2 verses. He says, therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children and walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. Be imitators of God as dearly loved children. Let's pray. King Jesus, as we just sang how reckless and sacrificial your love was, Lord, help us to embody that, to imitate you. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen. I hope you have your Bibles open. And if you don't, please open them up again. Or turn your device on. And if you turn it on Facebook, it will reflect blue off your face and I'll know. So don't do that, all right? I want you to take a minute, though. I want you to take a minute and look at the scripture. I want you to look at the text. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. And I want you to look at that phrase, as beloved children. Why is that there? The verses make perfect sense without it. Therefore, be imitators of God and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant and sacrificial offering to God. As beloved children. Why did Paul put that there? Any thoughts? Well, I was thinking about it, and I know Paul wants us to imitate love, and Paul knows that our first source of love, our first example of love is in our parents. And so we look at our parents for love, and then the world comes and tells us what love is, and we look to the world for love, and it's harder to look to our God for love. But Paul wants us to understand that we are dearly loved by God. So it's not what this world is telling us, but that we as children have a heavenly Father that we are to look for love. And his love is sacrificial. It's relentless. It's deliberate. It is unconditional. It is forgiving. That is the love. That is the standard of love. It is not what this world says it is. It's something that you can fall into and fall out of. The standard is sacrificial, deliberate, relentless, forgiving love. And that is what we are called to imitate. We are dearly loved children. 1 John 4:10 says this, love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. John 3:16, but God so loved the world in this way in this way, that he gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Romans 5:8 says that, but God proves his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And finally, in Galatians 2:20, if you look towards the end of that verse, it says, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, there's a common thread that runs through all of this. The love of God comes to us without our deserving it or doing anything to merit it, and it is shown to us through giving. Not only that, through the giving that is sacrificial, through the giving of his one and only son. We are dearly loved children of a heavenly father. That is the base with which we start. Before we understand that, or we must understand that before we can begin to imitate the Heavenly Father. June the 3rd, 2 weeks ago, I was not here. I was on the beautiful white sands of Florida suffering for Jesus, and David was here working, and he baptized 4 women right here. I was not here, and I knew that was going on. Luckily, I was able to see a video of one of them that morning. What I did not know was that a video showed that same Sunday. What you may not know is that during that video, there was footage of a man baptizing people at Harpeth Heights. That's what the video was promoting. That man was Mac Hanna, David's father. The same day that David was baptizing, the other thing you may not know, for the very first time, he looked up and saw his father baptizing. And it was a very special moment for David, as he was talking about it just last week. I want you to hear this. David's not imitating Mac Hanna. Mac Hanna is imitating Jesus Christ. He knew and loved the Lord. And because of that, Jesus lived in him and through him. And Mac was able to love the culture because of the love of Christ working in and through him. And because he loved the people around him, he was able and privileged to baptize people into the faith, into their profession of the faith. David got to see this throughout his life. He got to witness the love of Jesus Christ working in and out his father, who was imitating God. And so David got to see what it looked like. David loves Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ works in and through David as he is helping others be baptized into the faith or professing their faith as well. That's how this works. As dearly loved children of the Father, we imitate God because he lives in us and works through us. Every single one of us is loved dearly by our Heavenly Father. And that is a Father worthy of being imitated. Oscar Wilde said it best, and I bet some of you English lit people know the quote, right? Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. The rest of the quote goes like this, that mediocrity can pay to greatness. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, that mediocrity can pay to greatness. As dearly loved children, we are called to be imitators of God. Well, how do we imitate God in this love? Well, first of all, we have to know what his love looks like. All right? How do we know what his love looks like? Well, we have to have someone who has imitated it for us, and we have Jesus. The word in the Greek that we get from God, that we get from imitating, is mimetai, and it means to mimic. We get the English word mimic. In the scriptures here, it says imitate. Well, what does it mean to mimic? To copy closely. To repeat another person's speech, to repeat another person's actions, to repeat another person's behaviorisms. As I was preparing this week, I was thinking, okay, if I could just do a good impersonation of Donald Trump, I would do that for you. But I ain't got it, all right? But I was thinking, who does good impersonations? Who does good that? And I thought about Dustin Hoffman in the movie Rain Man, if you remember that movie. For those of you a little bit younger, do you remember Will Smith in the movie Ali? Or even better yet, I thought about Jamie Foxx in the movie where he impersonated Ray Charles. And they were awesome. I mean, they didn't look like Ray Charles or Muhammad Ali personally in their own features, but the words that came out of their mouth sounded like what Ray Charles, Muhammad Ali would have said. The mannerisms in which they moved, it looked like Muhammad Ali in the ring. It looked like Ray Charles banging on those keys. And it was awesome. They sounded just like them. They acted just like them. Their behavior was just like them. They were mimicking the people that they were trying to be like, that they were portraying. When I was growing up, I loved a show. It was called Inside the Actor's Studio. Some of you may remember it. Some of you may not. Some of you don't know it, I'm sure. It's too old. Basically, it was a drama college up in the Northeast, and it was a show that was on television, and there was an interviewer and an actor. And the interviewer was asking the actor questions about how they perfected and crafted their trade. Never failed. When the actor had done a great impersonation or imitation of another person during the movie, the interviewer would ask him, "How do you do it? How did you impersonate Ray Charles to a T?" And the answer seemed to always be the same. I spent hours watching them. If I could find a film on Ray Charles, I watched him. I spent hours listening to Ray Charles sing. I spent days reading. If I could be with Ray Charles, I would go and just sit and be with him and just watch the way his fingers moved across the keys. I would listen to the words that he used. I would pay attention to the way that he laughed. I would watch how he dealt with other people, how he interacted with those around him. It was always the same. It was hours and hours and days on end so that they could perfectly mimic and imitate that person when they were acting. So for us to imitate God and His love, we have to know what His love is like. God's love is forgiving. First of all, hear that. As dearly beloved children, we are forgiven. Matthew 18, Peter comes to Jesus and says, "Lord, if a man sins against me, how many times am I supposed to forgive him? 7 times? Yeah, that's pretty good. I'm doing all right." And Jesus kind of looks down at Peter and goes, or looks across at Peter and goes, "No, silly, 70 times 7. It's boundless. It never ends. Forgiveness continues." Or better yet, if you look at Luke 23 and you see Christ on his cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The perfect example of God's love and Christ on the cross, sacrificially giving of himself and forgiving those that he has encountered. Forgiving you. Forgiving me. God's love is forgiving. God's love is giving. Second, all of those verses I just read a minute ago, God the Father gave up God the Son. God the Father gives us love, unmerited, undeserved love. So as dearly loved children, we are called to imitate the Father, and His love is forgiving and giving and living. Well, living, that's kind of an interesting word. What does it mean? It means it's active. To love is a verb. It is action. It is not mere words. I don't say, "Hey, I love you. I don't think my wife is going to like that all that much." Instead, I can turn around and say, "Hey, baby, I love you. You're wonderful. You're the greatest. Couldn't get any better. For me, the sun rises and sets with you." That's a little bit better, right? But it's still words. If I did that and I turned around and walked out the door and did whatever I wanted and didn't attend to any of her needs or her desires, that wouldn't be showing love. And love is living. It is active. You give water to the thirsty. You give a coat to the homeless. You give a meal to those who need it. So far, we are dearly loved children called to imitate God, whose love is forgiving, giving, and living. It's easy, sounds good, but now we have to go put it into practice. And that's where it gets difficult. C.S. Lewis says this. I have to read it to you. It's a little bit lengthy. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will most certainly be wrung, possibly broken. And if we want to make sure of keeping our hearts intact, he tells us we are to give our heart to no one, not even to an animal. We must wrap it carefully around with our hobbies and little luxuries and avoid all entanglements. Lock it safe in the casket or coffin of our selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless and airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, and irredeemable. You see, C.S. Lewis says the alternative to tragedy, or at least the risk to tragedy in giving your heart away, is damnation. The only place outside heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers of agitation and agitation of love itself is hell. To love is to be vulnerable. That is the nature of love, and that is the biggest barrier that we use to keep from loving. And the standard broke down that barrier when he hung on a cross. He made himself vulnerable so that he could show our love, or his love, to us. Are you vulnerable? Or have we locked our hearts away in a casket of selfishness? Are we giving to others? Are we forgiving others? Are we living out our love so that the world sees it and knows us as people who love one another? Well, how do we do that? Paul tells us, and we walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We have to come to know each other. It's kind of hard to love somebody I don't know. I mean, I can like them on Facebook and say that's love. Or I can see where, you know, Gina's building wells in Africa, share loving on Africa. That's not love. We don't know them. We're not loving people in Africa in that way. We have to come to know each other. We have to spend time in biblical community with each other. We have to spend time studying the love of God and sharing the love of God with one another. We have to spend time with our neighbors. We have to spend time with our peers at work, talking to them, getting to know them, so that they understand that we realize they're here and that they are known and that they are respected. We have to spend time with the hurting and the rejected. That is what he came to do. He came to be with the sick, to be with the poor, to be with the needy, to be with the rejected, the outcasts, the prostitutes. He came to show his love, that sacrificial love, to them, to us. We have to know someone to love them, and we have to repeat the actions of our Savior, the Christ. Once we get to know them, we have to learn to share our lives with them. We're becoming even more vulnerable. We start to spend time with them. We have barbecues in the backyard. We start to have conversations that are more than, hey, how's it going? Good. Have a good week. Yeah, how's the weather? It starts to be about family and about life and about work and about burdens. Oh, whoa, that's too heavy. That's too deep. But when they begin to trust us and we begin to trust them, there becomes a sharing that starts to take place between us. And when they share that burden, so-and-so's sick, life's not going well, we are called to give to them. We are called to give them scriptural truth. We are called to give them the love of the Father. We are called to give them our time and efforts sacrificially to show them the love that they deserve. that Christ has put in us so that they come to know our Lord and Savior. And if they already do, so that they come to know that we are, yes, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters in this world. Not only do we give them words, but if they share a burden, we meet it. If there is a need, we do what it takes to meet that need. That's where the sacrifice comes in. So we're vulnerable when we begin to open up and have a relationship with them. When they share that burden, we become even more vulnerable and understanding and trustworthy, but we meet that need. And sometimes that's a sacrifice that has to be made. Here's a simple illustration. This is easy. In the days when an ice cream sundae used to cost 50 cents. And no, Cole, I do not remember those days. A young boy walked into a hotel diner and sat down at the table. And the waitress walked over, threw a menu down in front of him and said, "What do you have, buddy?" And he looked up at her and said, "How much is a hot fudge sundae?" She said, 50 cents. And he reached into his pocket. He pulled out his change. He started counting. While he was counting, the waitress looked around and saw some other patrons coming in and sitting down at the other tables. And they were looking at her like, "When are you coming over here to take my order?" And she looked back down at the little boy, still counting his change. And he looked up. "How much for just plain ice cream?" 35 cents, and she brusquely walked away to take care of the others because she had grown impatient with the young man, and he went back to counting. "I'll take the ice cream." She brought the ice cream, laid it on the table, and set the bill down right beside it. He finished every last drop of the nectar of God, said ice cream is, and she watched as he walked over to the cash register, and he literally emptied his pocket, paid the bill, and walked out of the hotel. When she came back to bust the table, she sat down because the tears were flowing uncontrollably from her eyes. Because you see, what was sitting beside the empty plate on the table was 2 nickels and 5 pennies. Had he gotten what he wanted, it would have cost every penny in his pocket, the hot fudge sundae. But instead, he put his own desires away, a 10-year-old boy, and got an ice cream so that he could leave a tip and show her love. It's not difficult, people. It just means we put our own desires away and love the people that we encounter. John 15:13 says this: "No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends." Do you lay down your life for others? Are you vulnerable with those that you know? The only way to live life in the imitation of God is to live a forgiving and giving and living love, to get to know those around you, to share your life, to build trust, to share burdens. But the only way that we can share the love of God in us is if we know Him personally and walk closely, as the scripture tells us, with the Holy Spirit inside of us. What we must do then is pray. We must be in constant communication with the Father. We must study scripture. We don't study the Bible, guys, so that I can sit in here and quote verses to you. We don't study the Bible so that we can win a Bible trivia contest. We study the Bible so that we can come to know the character of God. We study the Bible so that we understand what real love is and how He loved us. We study the Bible so that when we step outside, we understand when we see the homeless man that he needs a coat, we go do it. We give Him the coat. When there is a need, when God is at work, we thank Matthew 25. Do you know that passage? "I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was hungry and you fed me. I was in prison and you visited me. I was cold and you gave me a coat. We imitate Christ through sacrificial love. When our family is in need, we give sacrificially. When God prompts us to go serve, we go. When God calls us to go on a mission journey, to share love with a person in a different culture that we're never going to see again, we go. Why? Because God stepped down off of his throne and hung himself on a cross to share his love with me. And I want the whole world to know that he will do the same and did the same for each and every one of them. When God says, I want you to give that homeless man a bottle of water, better yet, take him in your car, drive him to a restaurant, sit down with him, buy his meal, and listen to his story, you do it because it's what Christ would do for you. Because you are vulnerable. Because your love is mimicking that of Jesus Christ. And it's sacrificial, it's beautiful, it never ends, it's relentless, and it lasts for eternity because it is kingdom love. When we live like that, the synonyms that go along with the word Christian become love, acceptance, patience, kindness, goodness. And the world's a different place. For the next 15 seconds, as the worship team is coming up here, I want you to take that bulletin that I hope you grabbed, and I want you to spend some time in quiet. I want you to write down who it is you can show sacrificial love to this week. Pray to the Father. How can I show forgiving, giving, and living love this week, God? As dearly loved children, imitate God. Happy Father's Day.